Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the college ball show returns. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything revolving around the world of college basketball. And life gets in the way. We did mean to do a post show for college football. It just didn't happen. Our schedules kind of got a little mixed up. Life, like I said, got in the way. And what do you know? Here we are. So, it is what it is. What are you going to do? We're obviously not going to sit here and break down Clemson's ass whooping of Bama, but it sure was pretty good. However, we are going to jump right into the college basketball season, just like we do every year. We call it the College Ball Show because late August until the national championship, it's all college football. We switch it up to right now. College hoops takes over all the way to the national title, okay? So we'll be here on a weekly basis all the way till early April. And, hey, you know, we figure if you like college basketball, there's a good chance you like the NBA playoffs. So we do a NBA playoff show in April. So that'll be our next show. But right now it's all college basketball, like I said. And, you know, it's a Thursday. So we are going to look ahead to some of the games on the schedule, no doubt about it. You have number one Duke versus number four Virginia. My co-host, if you don't know, my co-host Marshall is a North Carolina fan. So we like to talk about Duke, or we don't like to talk about it. Kind of matters how they're doing any particular week. Now, coming off a loss, I'm sure he's going to like it. Also this coming Saturday, number 12 Kentucky versus number 14, Auburn. And by the way, the SEC, you know, the last couple of years it's gotten better and better and better. Last year was very solid, and it was fun all the way down the stretch. Tennessee is looking like gangbusters right now. However, the SEC is definitely deep. It's not just the ACC and the Big Ten as far as depth. Really interesting race going on there. Then this coming Monday, number 6, Michigan State versus number 19, Maryland. Number 9, Virginia Tech versus number 13, North Carolina. A whole lot of stuff coming up this week and early next week. Usually we kind of recap the last several days, last several, you know, games that happen, and then we kind of do the same. We kind of look ahead. Maybe the next four or five days, I should say. So that's kind of the format of the show. We give our predictions on certain matchups. We look at all, you know, most of the marquee matchups, a couple of the games flying under the radar. We kind of keep tabs with our local clubs as well, or, you know, the basketball teams that we follow. And, of course, you know, if there's any kind of news items out there, that pops up, and with college basketball and the FBI, you never know. You never know what's going to pop up. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. So it streams live, it archives, it's all right here. However, if you don't want to listen to it in the browser, or if you don't want to listen to it live on your phone, by the way, 646-381-4990 is the number to call. That's 646-381-4990. If you want to join in, that's cool. A lot of people just kind of hang out on the line and, you know, do their stuff, go to the club, get a good workout in. You could take, you know, right with your phone. Maybe you got to pick up the kids, you know, from practice. You got to go grocery shopping, whatever it is, take the phone with you. However, if you like to listen to on your own times, you know, we're available a variety of different places. iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts. You know, Player FM, we get a lot of listens from Player FM, as well as TuneIn. Those are two great sources. Spreaker, Stitcher, all over the place, really. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That's the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can subscribe to that everywhere I mentioned. Also, you can listen to it on iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can find the College Ball Show on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. Thegruelingtruth.net, you can read an article. I do a weekly predictions for basketball right now and boxing. You can listen to the podcast right there as well. Don't forget about that. And it can actually link you right to mybookie.ag. It's a great sponsor for the website and the show, mybookie.ag. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host just to check his temperature and see what's going on. It's been a little while since we did a show. We did a show the night before the national title game, Clemson, Alabama. And like I said, life got in the way. Here we are over a week later, and we're going right into college hoops. But first and foremost, how are you doing, buddy? It's been a little while since we've done a show and talked.
Life is fun, but it's stressful because I coach high school girls basketball, so we're in the point of the season where we're playing all the teams in our district for the second time. And there's seven teams in the district, only four make playoffs, and we're right now the fifth seed. So we need some luck to go our way. And yeah, so big game next Tuesday. Hopefully get a win, and we win that game, then we're in the running again. If we lose and the season's not looking too pretty. So besides that, life's going pretty good. You know, coaching, it's a fun thing, but it's also an emotional thing. It's going to be a tough thing. You're kind of just a mess when you're coaching it during your season, you know, if you get into it like most coaches do.
Yeah, it kind of takes it out of you. It fills you up with goodness, but it also kind of wears you down, understandably.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Real quick, sure. Clemson kicked the shit out of Alabama. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I told everyone because I picked Clemson. I would be a fool if I said that. Sure, I picked Clemson, but it was by about three or 4 points or 2 points, and it would be the drive in the last second, kick the field goal type stuff. I would have never guessed the display that we saw that night. So real quickly, I'm talking real quick, because this is a basketball show now, but we didn't get to talk about it. Holy crap, Clemson. You just smacked the crap out of Alabama, and boy, was it fun to watch. I watched every second of it, too.
Yeah, it hasn't happened. I think that was Saban's worst loss since Miami. I mean, we're going a ways back. You're looking at Nick Saban's coaching profile win-loss record. I mean, holy shit. And the scary thing is for college football fans is, you know, some people were bitching about replays. Tua and Lawrence are coming back next year. So barring, you know, Oklahoma puts up another Heisman candidate with a defense, we could be seeing, you know, rematch number five. I mean, because those quarterbacks did not look like freshmen. So, yeah, hell of a game. And I will. My quick fact is, I remember when the Patriots played the Colts, and they tried to do that fake punt where they had the center and the punter under center,
yeah,
and like everyone else was on the sidelines,
yeah,
and you snap the ball, and even the punter was kind of like, oh shit, why did you do that? And like three guys tackled him, and within a foot, that fake field goal by Bama. Clemson's defense was just kind of chilling there, and like, seriously? Kind of, yeah, kind of like, all right, shit, you're actually running the ball. Oh, okay. All right, deal. You're going to have your little backup dude trying to run the ball like a net
yeah,
of 12 yards on us because you got to snap it. That was
body
one of
slam
the,
too. where you can still body slam people legally in college football.
Sure.
You can still body slam. Early in that game, he was desperate. I'd never seen Saban so desperate. Like, dude, you do realize the score and the time left in the game, right? And it was like, no, just go for it. And some of them he got, but most of them, as it turned out, he didn't. But that was crazy, man. That was nuts.
Draw was when the Clemson receiver does a simple go route. And you might have caught on TV where the Alabama guy rolled up his knee and got busted, and it was a free touchdown. It's kind of like when those plays happen, it's like, dude, it's not your night. You know, your DB rolls his knee, a once-in-a-thousand fluke thing happens, you get a free touchdown. It's like, you know, the dice weren't going your way that evening. So, yeah, hell of an ass whooping for a team that never does that. They just
They kind of did peak. Mid-season or mid to late, I think that is true. We were talking about that maybe, you know, those games, back-to-back games where they skunked LSU and Mississippi State, it seemed like they peaked after that because, remember, was it Georgia Southern that was tied at half with them or something like that after that? Like
Citadel.
They just didn't they just peaked a little bit. But to see them get stopped at the goal line, too, that was crazy that many times. But, okay, we talked about enough. Let's move to college basketball. That season is done, and we are dead in the middle of the college basketball season. The conference races are heating up. Kansas is getting threatened with the Big 12. Who's going to stand out? We don't know. It felt like Texas Tech. Now, all of a sudden, Iowa State's doing pretty good. There are a variety of teams that could knock them off. We're looking for Kansas to finally not be the winners, the kings of the Big 12. The ACC is really good at the great, like, phenomenal elite at the top, and it's deep. Maybe the tippy top of the Big 10 is elite, but it's deep. I wouldn't say it goes as, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 or nothing like that, but it goes deep. It goes to about 8 or 9 as far as just quality teams that are not going to be easy to beat. I mentioned how the SEC is really interesting this year again, and it feels like it's like another layer deeper. We'll talk about that. The Pac-12 feels like it got another layer weaker.
The
last couple of years, this Pac-12, it just – ever since they got the Pac-12 network, it's just been a wrap. You know, people are like, yeah, great. Oh, that game? Sweet. Yeah, I'll catch it. I'll catch it on YouTube, the highlights or something like that. But anyway, so let's talk about a handful of games that happened in the last chunk of days. We're not going to go back a week. The farthest we're going to go back is Saturday, and I don't want to spend a ton of time there. My guess is you don't either, the way your team performed that day. But Duke snuck one out against FSU 80-78. That thing came down all the way to the wire. That was a really entertaining game, I thought. A couple other games that stand out. Well, Louisville, I guess they were looking ahead. I guess they were looking ahead, the North Carolina Tar Heels, because they got whooped 83-62 when they were looking good. Mississippi State fell to Ole Miss 81-77. That was an upset, no doubt about it. And Ohio State got beat by Iowa, and Ohio State started the season very strong, looking really good. And now I think they've lost 3 in a row or 3 out of their last 4. So it's been a little strange there. That Oklahoma-TCU game, I remember doing the predictions last week for my article anyway. We didn't do a show, but I picked that in the hardcore barn burner, and sure enough, 76-74. What do you have to say just in general, some you know, takes from last Saturday that did have a variety of good games, including that Duke Florida State game that came right down to literally a three-pointer by Reddish, Cam Reddish, with 0.08 left.
Yeah, that was kind of a bad omen for that day because I went to like a really cool kind of venue they built to go watch the Cowboys play. Long story short, they built like a kind of an entertainment center area across from where the Rangers play. And it's a sweet thing because it has the middle of this area is like a sports book like you'd see in Vegas. And there's two floors that are based around it that look down the center of it with like six different bars. So it's a really cool, fun place. I can't wait to go there for March Madness. That'll be a perfect spot.
That's
so I went there to see the Oh, yeah. It's got a 100-foot TV in the main center. There's bars on every floor. You can go between every place. It's a really cool venue. Unfortunately, Duke hit a buzzer beater, so I should have known that the Cowboys were going to lose the Rams, unfortunately. Obviously, we will talk about on this show throughout the year about teams always play each other tight. Kind of, we always discuss that in football, how, you know, certain teams like Iowa, they always hate to play a Northwestern, or they always hate to play Kansas State, or every team kind of has that team. You're like, damn it, they're on our schedule. We got to deal with this crap. If you're a Duke fan, that's been your case for, I mean, past 10, 15 years. Florida State always plays them tight. Florida State's always got a couple of guys that are 7 foot. They always have a couple of wings on the NBA. And they almost gave Duke their first loss of the year, if not for, like you said, a buzzer beater being attempted. Also, on that past Saturday quickly, Tennessee. This is a team that, since this is our seventh year doing our college basketball show, they've never been a legit threat. They've been a respectable team that has maybe made the tournament, but never won.
Well, they've made
front,
on our, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
they've never been
but
legit
never won.
The year they've made runs at the tourney. That's it.
Yeah, we've maybe said, okay, maybe they're a Sweet 16 this year, a Sweet 16 team this year, but never like a, holy shit, look at Tennessee. This year, that, holy shit, look at Tennessee, that's a true statement. That's a dangerous team who's been pretty much ranked in the top five for the past month or pretty close to it. So it was actually a pretty loaded day of good basketball, as you mentioned. Carolina had the biggest home loss by differential, I think, in it was either like 17 or 20 years.
Jesus.
I mean, I have the number 17 and 22 in my head, so it's one of those, I believe. But, yeah, the biggest home loss in either the past 17 or past 22 years. And to lose by 22, I mean, I've seen Roy lose plenty of games at home, but normally they don't get smacked. And that was one to just kind of swallow the pill and move on. But, yeah, as you mentioned, even though Louisville's not ranked, I mean, at that moment, their record was 11-5. Carolina was 12-4. So it's not like they lost to a miserable team. They lost to a Louisville team who's got a new coach now, trying to rewrite the system, forget about all the pass from Patino. I still think Patino will end up coaching college again here sooner or later. I think someone's going to bite on him. But, yeah, not a pretty day for my
baby
Blue.
How about the Timberwolves? Timberwolves need a coach. Let's bring back Patino, baby.
Hey,
it's legal to get strippers. Legal
hell
to get
yeah.
strippers. Dude, legal for pros to get strippers, dude. It's all good.
Amen.
He doesn't even He doesn't need that random dude who's going to take all the blame. He can come right here, no problem. No problem at all. Go ahead.
Go ahead. If you don't mind jumping ahead, just 2 days later, Duke does suffer their first loss of the year, thankfully. Syracuse wins 95-91.
Second loss. Gonzaga beat them. Second loss.
Oh, no, you're right. First loss in conference. My bad. Yeah. Second loss of the year. Syracuse takes down Duke. And if people remember, if you're a diehard college basketball fan like we are, there was the game about 4 or 5 years ago where Boeheim ripped off his coat like a questionable reffing call at Duke and like lost his mind, and ESPN went like on a binge about how Boeheim is, you know, out of control, losing his mind, being disrespectful to the game. This time, I don't believe Boeheim ripped off his coat. His team did win at Duke, 95-91. Again, Syracuse, they beat Duke. Again, an unranked team beating a top-ranked team. So, like you mentioned, the Syracuse, the ACC is pretty talented from top to bottom. Florida State, still a little bit hungover, lost again to Pittsburgh, who is up and coming with a new coach in Capel.
Yep.
And Kansas holds on to beat Texas. So, even though the past week or so, as you said, Chris, there's been a lot of good competitive games. Getting into season play is entertaining. Obviously, it's a longer season than football, but there really isn't a moment where you have much time to breathe. I would say of the major 5 to 6 conferences in basketball, there's maybe a couple of teams in the Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC, ACC that, if your team's playing them, okay, dude, that's a given win. But there's not too many layups. And as the year goes on, Chris, I'll say this to you and I'll flip it back to you. We will see so many times where the crappy team of the year, they'll still only get 4 to 5 wins a year in district or in their conference, and they're almost always at home. So even though in college basketball, you know, you're playing a team that's maybe 1-10 in conference and you're 10-1, that home field advantage in basketball can sometimes cause some miraculous things and lead to wins where you're like, dude, you were favored by 10 points. What the hell are you doing losing to fill in the blank? But sometimes that college basketball season and going on the road, it can test you a lot, my friend. And we're going to have plenty of games here we talk about where a team was expected to win, but that team had one of their hot flashes of the year and they got hot in the home court and won. So just kind of a future that we'll be discussing many times is those teams winning at home, just because sometimes you get a little magic in college basketball.
It's true. And remember last year, we couldn't figure out who the hell the best teams were because it just kept happening and happening.
True.
And top teams getting knocked off. And although on the surface, you have Tennessee, you have Duke, you have Gonzaga, you still got to throw in there. You have some teams up there, no doubt. But the more we're looking at this and the more I'm seeing this play out, and we're not even halfway through the conference, you know, schedule, obviously, you know, our teeth into it, I'm seeing that all the time, and especially in the ACC, in the Big Ten, and case in point. And it may not just be losing on the road like the Gophers did last night to Illinois. Not only lost, but got their ass kicked, got stomped. You're right. This is going to happen. I mean, it already happens anyway, like you said, especially if it's in a popular conference. We're not talking about the Pac-12 here. You know, the road games might be a little quiet in the Pac-12, but a lot of times, you know, especially the more high-profile game, that's the ones that people are going to go, the casual fans. They're going to go to those and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I know Indiana's coming to town or North Carolina or whatever. You're right. I mean, it's happening left and right. And in the ACC and in the Big Ten, which I think right now, I still think we got to put that SEC in there as well, as far as, you know, we're going to find out which is the top conference. But as far as the depth, it's been crazy so far. And just to kind of wrap up some games that we were talking about, Maryland at home protected their home court against Wisconsin 64-60. Nebraska got a big win against slumping Indiana on the road 66-51. That knocked Indiana, or that's going to knock Indiana out of the top 25. Virginia just walloped Virginia Tech 81-59. Just smacked them around. That Marquette Georgetown game, 74-71, a road win for Marquette. That was a good game. Buffalo, a couple of teams that are standing out. Nevada, we've seen, they're pretty highly ranked. Buffalo is another one. St. John's is another one that stands out. As far as just like, oh, really? Oh, okay, wow, that's pretty cool. Last night, Iowa State, I mentioned that. They got a big road win, 68-64. Maybe some of this stuff's going to be so wild that teams get road wins when they're not supposed to. That might, you know, that might play into it. But just to kind of add a layer to what you're talking about, we just talked about Syracuse. You know, they just won. North Carolina just got beat down, you know, by an unheralded. You know, you look at, like, unheralded Pittsburgh, it's just like Maryland. Maryland was ranked early, then they lost, and people kind of just discounted them. And here they are, you know, 5-1 now in the Big Ten, and they have some – they've played a 4 or 5-game stretch that just – you know, they beat Nebraska, they beat Minnesota, they beat Indiana, they just beat Wisconsin. It's good. I think it's going to do that 3, 4, 5-game stretch where you're either going to, you know, look great and win 4 out of 5, or you're going to lose 3 in a row, and people are going to be scratching their head. You wonder what Texas Tech is going to do here. They just lost to Iowa State after beating Texas on the road. And Texas Tech is just, as we know, a very defensive sound team. They halted a 22-game road losing streak to the Longhorns that dated back to 1996. Going ahead, like I said, there was a little matchup, UCLA and Oregon in the Pac-12, just to give some love. UCLA erased a 13-point deficit with about, 2 minutes and 35 seconds left. So that was some kind of Tracy McGrady stuff, if you know what I mean. And then just Virginia, once again, looking good. And we're going to have to keep an eye on this freaking team, man. They've already held 7 opponents under 50. But as we know, they just came off a season where they lost. They were the first number one seed to lose to a 16 ever. And I don't want to hear about they were missing their best player. True, that hurt you for the tournament. It doesn't hurt you for the first round. Tournament, yes, I get it. You're the number one seed. If you lose your best player, your all-around player, hell yeah. That's going to screw your season. But you can't tell me that you can't get by a 16 seed. So we're really going to take a look at that team, because if Virginia could play in the ACC and that's it, Marshall, they would have probably won a championship already. But when they get to the big dance, for whatever reason, and there's a couple of them, they just falter. They just falter down the stretch. Right now, as we speak, Michigan State's on the road up 33-28 against a pretty good club in Nebraska. I noticed the Friday games, much like college football, but the Friday games are starting to be pretty decent. Last Friday, there was a Big Ten doubleheader. It was pretty solid. I watched it. This Friday, tomorrow, Maryland on the road at Ohio State. See, everything's Maryland. Maryland's on this stretch of 5 games that if they get through this, they're 15-3 right now. They're going to be – they got bigs. They got guards. They're not relying on 1 or 2 players this year, and that's it. And also Xavier's on the road against Villanova, who has found some life of late. They started out really shaky this year, Villanova did. Now, their schedule wasn't easy, but, you know, we're used to them being a great, great elite club. Well, they've obviously had to recycle now for the first time, I think, in a while, where they've really had to recycle a ton of talent from the last, 3 years or whatever. So they're playing Xavier, though, who's kind of in a rebuilding year, actually, on the road. So that could get interesting. As far as some of the matchups coming up this weekend, I mentioned number one Duke against number 4 Virginia. Another good game is Kentucky and Auburn. That's 12 against 14. Let's just talk about that Duke-Virginia game. You know, Trey Jones, the brother of Tyus Jones, he's kind of their glue guy as far as he's not going to put a bunch of points up, but he's going to defend his ass off, and he's probably got like a 5-to-1 turnover ratio, something like that. Really solid player. He messed up his shoulder Now, he's going to be back this year. There were some reports that he's going to be gone forever and stuff. No, he dislocated his shoulder, I believe it was. But I'm not saying he's going to be back for this Saturday. But the rehab's already started, yada, yada, yada. They're probably going to miss him, though. He's a nice calming presence with all those. I mean, this is like a Kentucky squad, you know. And sometimes you need that player that is not going to look for his, per se. But Virginia, you know, like I said, I mean, they haven't lost this season yet. They have some pretty good wins. They beat Maryland. They beat Wisconsin. They beat Florida State. They just devoured Virginia Tech. And now here Duke obviously looking ahead, you know, a bit ago there. How do you see this one shaping up? And you know, they're not that deep, and a lot of times you're not Tucky. When you have all these youngsters, a lot of dudes are not going to, you know, that other layer, they're just not deep because some people transfer out when they hear this crazy class is coming in. Some people don't go there, and some people, like I said, just dip. This is kind of interesting here. It's at Duke, isn't it? Yeah, it's at Duke. So that obviously helps. They're coming off a loss, so they got to be kind of pissed off. They weren't playing with – actually, I don't think they were playing with Reddish the last game. He was sick, and now he's going to be back healthy. So they are missing Jones. Do you think that'll – you know, do you think that'll be enough for Virginia to kind of get over the hump and get a huge, huge road win? Or do you just kind of say, hey – chalk it up as the win. One, they're going to be pissed they just lost. And two, they're at home. And beat them at home, good luck.
I think that you regularly in this game have a huge difference of styles. And I think it benefits Virginia a little more this year. Now, clearly, one could argue that Duke has the most talented assortment of offensive talent, like for a future NBA like potential team. I'm not sure if they necessarily play together the best as a team, like yet, like have they all developed yet as a group? Who knows? But talent wise, sure. But with that being said, also when I've watched Duke play, I think for as good as their offense is, and this say it biased or not, Duke's man to man defense is awful. They have a lot of young kids who are incredibly gifted offensively, but lack a defensive presence. So if you're talking about a team that can score points with you but give up a lot, I'm more in favor, Chris, looking at a team who's known for defense, and that's always been their MO in Virginia, who is not going to let Duke, in theory, run up and down the court on them completely. And I think with as good as Virginia's come off this year, again, like they've been with a defensive-based team, playing against a Duke team that does struggle defensively, I like Virginia's chances. I know that they're not going to score a ton of points. I guess if Duke can run up and down the court with them, they will smoke them, but that's normally not Virginia's style. They normally slow down the game. I just think now, later in the year, Chris, if this matchup's developed, sure, I maybe lean a little bit more towards Duke, but I just think Duke still has a ways to go defensively. Now, last year, and I don't care what Coach K says, last year they were a pretty bad team defensively. And his excuse was, we're just going to start playing a zone. I haven't seen Duke. I didn't see their last game, but I don't think he's gone there yet. But I still think that might be something happening in the future. And, again, I mean, Zion Williamson, Reddish, those guys are a joy to watch just strictly from a basketball standpoint. But I think their man-to-man defense is what's keeping them from being a great team thus far. So I'll take a better defensive team in this matchup, and I'll take Virginia to pull off the upset win on Saturday.
Nice. I like it. Already going outside the box. I think it's going to be a grinded-out game. You're right. The style will be interesting. I think I would say I agree with you to an extent. On their because when they are on their game, they're blocking shots and getting steals left and right. And Zion will just—I mean, that guy can block some shots. They average 8 blocks a game. and almost 11 steals a game. So they have plenty of defense, but you're right, it's just not necessarily the most consistently the whole time. And I think offensively it'll be spurty as well. I think you called it there for good. I do think without Trey Jones, I think there's something to that. Like I said, he's a calming presence, and he's not really trying to get his. So I do think a work in progress is right. You know, they're 14-2, and they look like they could win the national championship. You know, you look at their depth. If fall problems, you know, come up or injury, we're going to find out. I mean, they have actually had some players miss before. In fact, Zion had his eye poked and didn't go back in the game in that Florida State game. And then obviously they're missing Reddish, I think, in this last game. I'm still going with Duke at home only because they're coming off a loss. And I think they'll be motivated. They got a couple of, you know, days to stew with it. And but I see a good game, though. I definitely see a good game, no doubt about it.
The one thing I'll say, it'll be interesting to see how it develops over the year, Chris, is in close games, who's going to be taking that clutch shot for Duke? Because I know that Zion's considered the best, but there's a lot of people that have been saying, like, Cam Reddish is pretty damn close to him, like, for maybe the best player in Duke. Or, as you mentioned, Trey Jones is kind of the common process. So I know I'm going a ways back, but and then in that Gonzaga game, the ball was in Reddish's hands. And I remember looking, and I think the last three possessions, it was all him, and I was kind of wondering myself, if you're Zion Williamson, why would you not be the man in the ball? Or why is Coach K not giving him the ball? And to wrap up the game, Reddish took a couple of off-balance shots, and it's like, dude, say what you want about maybe who the better dribbler or quicker scorer is. Maybe Reddish is in some people's minds, but Zion Williamson's an absolute matchup disaster. Because as big and strong as that dude is, there's not a single damn person that can cover him for a one-on-one possession. It's kind of like the LeBron effect. I'm not comparing him to LeBron, but he
can pass too.
But
he knows how to pass well.
He has the body type where there's not a guy in college basketball that's as big and strong as him. So as the year goes by,
there's barely a guy in the NBA. When he goes, he'll be the second or third heaviest dude in the NBA when he gets there. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And he's not like an overweight center. I mean, he's a bigger guy, but he's not like he can run down the court with you. So I'll be curious, as the year goes by, who will take the clutch shot? Who is Coach Hager? Is it going to be Reg for the whole year? And if it's Zion, eventually he's going to be like, dude, give me a damn shot to win this game because if I don't make it, at least I'm going to get fouled, you know, because, man, he is a nightmare. I don't know who the hell is going to guard him on Carolina. Someone's going to be stuck doing it, but dear Lord, I good luck that day. Do your push-ups. Have your cereal and milk that morning because, I mean, trying to body that guy up, you eat your weeds, it doesn't freaking happen. That dude is a LeBron James-esque body playing college basketball, and he will not be fun to guard.
Yeah. Back in that, a couple weeks back against Wake Forest, he had 30 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, and 4 steals, and went 3 of 4 from the three-point line. That's really
Jesus
his only
Christ.
Weakness, but we can go down the long list of NBA players that are stars now that couldn't shoot threes when they first got in the league. So I'm not even certain that. You know, they used to call it Big Monday. And generally what Big Monday meant was the Big 12 and the Big East. That's what Big Monday was surrounded around. The Big East game would usually be first because it's, you know, an hour ahead. But it's still Big Mondays. And don't get me wrong, the Big 12, you know, enjoys some fun Big Mondays. But and I call it Big Mondays. ESPN called it Big Mondays. And they still do, I assume. But either way,
yeah,
we got a Big Monday. We have a huge Big Monday. But it's not your traditional thing here, okay? Now, you know, Iowa State is traveling to Lawrence to go, you know, to Kansas, I should say. And they already beat them, so you might as well just give that one to Kansas. Now, the center is out for the season for Kansas as well. Obviously, a lot of people know that. He tore a tendon in his hand. He's definitely a key player. Azubuki, that dude, you know, they're going for their 15th in a row. That guy played pretty well last year, and this was really going to be his, you know, okay, now I'm the guy. Because usually, you know, every year they have kind of new guys. Either they get, you know, they always get a young stud or whatever, but they tend to kind of keep some guys around too at Kansas. So that's a big game. I'd say that's more under the radar. But I just don't see Kansas losing twice to Iowa State this year. But are they going to be vulnerable with that injury? We'll find out. But the other two, Big Ten and ACC, Maryland, and I've been mentioning Maryland for a reason, because their friggin' schedule is like the Gopher schedule to start the Big Ten that I always complain about. Maryland has just been—they've been on a freaking run here. And by the way, they've been winning most of them. It's crazy.
They won in Madison.
I mean, and they beat Nebraska. They won at Minnesota. They beat Indiana. They got to play Ohio State tomorrow. And then Michigan. And finally, they get a minor little, you know, break in the schedule, I guess you could say. But they're Maryland is going on the road at 19, and, you know, it'll be different by the time we get to Monday, against Michigan State. And then Virginia Tech, number 9, is going on the road to the Tar Heels, UNC. Now, I think Maryland's going to lose to Michigan State. Michigan State's great at home. And at some point, something's got to give. You can't just win all these games, even though it was a treacherous stretch there for him. So I am going to pick Michigan State. How do you feel about that game? And then let's hear you talk about Virginia Tech in North Kakalaka. You know, this is a big – you know, my thing about Virginia Tech is I'm looking at their stuff, and you know, I'm looking at their schedule, and I see they beat Purdue, but Purdue's not the team that they've been the last 3 years, that's for sure. A decent Washington team who's got a chance to win the Pac-12, but what does that really mean? Where's Notre Dame? I don't know. They don't seem to be the club they've been in the last 5 years, maybe even a little bit more. My thing is, going into that Virginia game, it was like, who the hell have they beat? How did they get ranked 9th? And then Virginia just smacked them around 81-59. What's your take on that game, and then also Maryland and Michigan State?
I mean, I'm obviously going to be cheering for my boys. Like you said, that is a pretty tough schedule to read. I mean, there is something to be said for taking care of the games you have to win. It kind of does have the college football mindset of when you're playing teams that no one in the country can name on a map, you better beat them. And Virginia Tech almost every year is guaranteed to go about 18-7 or 18-9 and be on the bubble for like an 8 or 9 seed, or make the a first round seed in the NIT. I mean, it's almost a guarantee they're anywhere from a 7 to a 10 seed on the bubble or like hosting the NIT. That's kind of their MO. So, I mean, their win loss record right now kind of sums it up. And it's maybe a little better than expected so far. But as you mentioned, their non-conference is probably a little weaker than normal. So a team I can speak on a little bit better with the Tar Heels, who are 13-4 in the year, 3-1 in conference, we're back to being a little more, you know, guard-oriented. For a little bit there, we'd have some bigs, but, I mean, the gist of Carolina has always been having a star point guard that can run down the court to track speed, and that's what the offense runs through. And almost every year, Roy always makes the defense better. I mean, I'm just going to say it now. There will be moments this year where I complain about how our defense sucked. It caught the game, and by the end of the year, it will be better. I'm not sure if this is the Carolina team going to make a deep run yet. We're not quite there. I don't know if that team has it. But, again, our guards on this team have some talent. Nasir Little, a name you'll hear about a lot, is a guy who should be going to the NBA. He's people say he's a lottery pick. Kobe White, a freshman guard this year, has been a joy to watch. He's one of those kids that when he has the ball in his hands, he can shoot from about anywhere on the court, and you got to believe it's going in. Kobe White's had a lot of really nice games this year. Luke May is there kind of the big people hear about, the shot against Kentucky a couple years ago when they won the title. He's a guy that can kind of almost guarantee you a double-double. He's not super athletic. He's probably not going to be an NBA guy, but for a college player, he's a pretty damn good player. He's kind of just that kind of similar to like a Tyler Hansbrough, not quite as skilled, but I mean, Carolina's got the pieces this year. I'm just not sure, Chris, if we have the talent to be a deep team like we can be for tournament runs. But when you have two stud guards, a good coach, off to a good start this year and a pretty good record, I mean, I like what I see. Also, Cam Johnson, another nice guard. I mean, we got the pieces. I just want to see, again, have Roy help develop this team. Again, we are pretty damn young. We're not the senior-laden or junior-laden team like we usually are. So I like our chances in this game. I think we had that one little, you know, surprising huge loss at home to Louisville. We stepped up to beat Notre Dame in our last game, and now we get another one at home. So I like our odds on Saturday to get another victory, and we'll see again maybe another reality check for Vautech. Are they, as you said, a team that should have been ranked ninth this year, or a team that's going to fall back down towards the 20s or maybe unranked if they lose a few more games in a row here?
Yeah, I just was like, I'm still looking, you know, to find out what the hell they've done to get the ninth. I just don't see it. Maybe, you know, there's that new there is a new polling, you know, data rating out there this year, and it's got people all confused, you know. We just figured out the different tiers for wins and losses and whatever, you know, for the tourney. We got that figured out now. Now they got this new rating system that it kind of goes off how bad you beat a team, it seems like. Or if you played a team really close, but play like both teams play pretty well, or let's say you don't play great defense, but you shoot the ball really well, both teams shoot the ball really well, so it makes it look like, you know, quality basketball or whatever, all of a sudden you're up higher, you're ranked higher than teams that have, you know, you can have 4, 5, 6 losses, and they're above teams that have quality wins with only 2 losses. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that is. We're going to keep an eye on it. I forgot what the hell it's even called right now, but that's something we'll get into a little bit later. But
yeah.
The reason why I bring it up is because Patino locally here was talking about it, and I remember them introducing it, and I looked at it a couple times, but I went back and checked, and I'm like, huh, yeah, that is weird. Like, that's okay. What sense does that make? So we're going to, you know, we have the AP, we have the coaches, we have the power rankings and whatnot, but, you know, we'll keep you posted on that. And you know, is that going to be part of the tournament selection committee? Is that a stat they're going to use? We'll definitely dive into that. Just talking about a couple or more games that could be interesting.
Oh, hey, I'm gonna
flip
the script I need for once. Hey, just so you know, the ESPN prediction pie chart: Carolina 59.1% chance to win, Virginia 40.9%. You're always the man that does that, so I want to use my boys in the pie chart. And Chris, if they lose, I'm gonna burn that thing to the grave, fricker, burn to the ground. Carolina, 59.1% chance of winning with the, I'm going to call it the ESPN pie chart because it doesn't deserve the name they normally give it.
All right. Well, according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, Michigan, it does look like a pie chart. Michigan has a 91.9%,
oh,
and that's the thing that gets me. The point nine, the point anything is just silly. but 91.9, giving my Gophers an 8.1%. So that actually gives me hope. I didn't think we had any chance. We almost got a 10% chance. So I feel pretty good coming up on Tuesday. The Kentucky Wildcats are 13-3. They're ranked 12th. They have a game against Mississippi State, who actually just dropped the game. They're both 13-3 heading into this game. Another game, Texas Tech on the road against Kansas State. Texas Tech is getting tested early. We'll see. They got a little break in their schedule as well. But Kentucky this year, we're used to seeing them bring in the one-and-dones like crazy. And it's not like they don't have them, but this year it's kind of a mixture of guys that have been there, transfers that are older, and then the youth as well. So either way, when you bring in new parts or you have new parts playing, it takes a little while to get things going. So I expect that. That's an interesting game right there that I think they need to win, being, that the fact that it's at home. And that's Tuesday. So that'll be probably as far as we go when it comes to that. But it's kind of interesting to see Kentucky this year with that kind of team. And just to keep it going, since we're in, talking about Kentucky and whatnot, a lot of times we like to kind of break down the conferences before we get out of here. And just kind of keep track of, some of the interesting races, especially in the power conferences. And we might as well just stay in the SEC right now. And here's what I'm talking about as far as the surprise teams this year. Now, LSU and South Carolina, especially South Carolina, but LSU too, actually last year, they're okay. They've been pretty good. They've gotten off to a very fast start. It's crazy. South Carolina was 9-7, is 9-7, but yet they've started 4-0 in the SEC. LSU, 13-3, they're 3-0 in the SEC so far. And you have, I just mentioned Mississippi State, Bama's okay, but you have Auburn, that's 2-1, Kentucky 3-1, and Ole Miss 3-1. And actually, it was South Carolina actually did have a pretty good club not long ago, but we've seen Ole Miss too be pretty good overall. But early on, Tennessee looks like they're going to wipe the floor with everybody right now anyway, sitting there at 15-1, haven't lost a home game, only lost that one game so far. But it's kind of interesting to see a Kentucky club not just stacked to the gills with that one-and-done talent, but they're actually got a team that, who knows, when they get it all together because of the parts, maybe they'll go further than some of the clubs that they had when they were one-and-dones. Have you watched Kentucky or paid attention to them at all this year? It's kind of different seeing a mixture of players. Kind of refreshing, actually, too.
No, I haven't seen the Cats play much this year, but from the sound of it, like you said, I do kind of like their chances more. Because, I remember talking on this podcast numerous times of, man, Chris, that Kentucky team, they just lost 3 games in a row on the road. Cal's pulling his hair out. He's yelling at guys. It looks like a mess. And then 2 months later, they get great for the tournament. But then it's still kind of a crapshoot to make it to the Sweet 16. Maybe having a team with more experience let you skip some growing pains, let you build some better chemistry and experience with guys who maybe are sophomores and juniors that play. All of a sudden, maybe, like you said, your fame and credibility on Instagram maybe won't be as good, but your team might actually be able to make a better run because you've had guys that have been there before, or guys who know that I'm playing basketball right now to, enjoy college and not worry about me putting up stats hypothetically just for the NBA. I mean, a different DNA can't hurt. And not that you know, I'm a guy that thought Cal has always done a pretty damn good job there with what he's been dealt with. There's some people that, you know, say, hey, the dude hasn't won enough titles yet. So the talent he always brings in, you kind of go back and forth on that. But to not have a team that's got a bunch of lottery picks everywhere, that could be a different setup of skill set that he probably would enjoy, you know. And that does take a little more pressure off you. This year it's Duke has all the one-and-dones. Duke's expected to make the deep run. And that's kind of always been Kentucky's MO lately. So maybe from a media standpoint, maybe a club idea standpoint, it could benefit them.
Yeah, you're right. And just real quickly, in the Pac-12, another year that Arizona is kicking people's butt. They're up 4-0 again. Oregon State is 3-0. Wow, that's kind of surprising.
Wow.
Otherwise, yeah, Oregon's 3-0, and they're 11-4 overall. So I don't know who the hell they played, but I can't say that, you know, I've said Oregon State much. Let's see, they lost to A&M. They lost to Missouri. So basically anybody they played, they lost to. That meant the shit. So let's just forget them. That's how bad the Pac-12 has fallen. That Oregon State can start out 3-0. And I just real quickly went through their schedule and not too much to write home about. You know, maybe I need Washington to do well. That's what I need because I'm a Gopher fan. And we beat the Gophers there, or we beat the Washington. So it'd be nice if they won that for that quality win. Go ahead. You were going to say something, I believe?
Yeah, to switch things up once for a conference we normally talk about, because they normally have a respectable season-end tournament. They normally have 3 to 4 teams make it. This year, the Mountain West, which normally relates to talking about UNLV, who normally has their highs and lows, or more specifically San Diego State, or even sometimes New Mexico Lobos, all those teams are still in the conference, but the Nevada Wolfpack are leading that conference. They're ranked 10th in the country. They're 17-1. They never seem to care about playing hard in the first half, but as I always cover in the second half, that is a fun team. They've been ranked about 5th to 10th the entire year. When the season started, they were, I believe, the 6th best odds in Vegas to win the title this year. They got their coach Musselman. This is a team where, for once, we have someone besides named Gonzaga, who is an out of Power 5 conference that is a legit contender. Now, again, they had a great run last year in the tournament, a phenomenal run.
Yeah.
They're not going to be truly tested again. I would say the Mountain West Conference is respectable. Like I said, they usually, I would say, on average, Chris, get about 3 teams in a tournament a year, sometimes 4 at the bubble. So it's not a group of a conference, but I see them kind of being a team where people are going to kind of be picking away at them on a year of, okay, you know, the media believes in these guys. They've been ranked in the top 10 for most of the year. I'd imagine they will stay there. I'm sure they won't run the table in their conference. I mean, they're 4-1 now. I could see them maybe going, you know, 16-2, maybe 15-3, something like that. But they're going to be asking a lot of questions of, is this team for real? They're going to kind of start getting the Gonzaga treatment. But I'll tell you, for a team that kind of came on the map a little bit last year, Chris, people love this squad. I've not seen them play as much as I'd like to yet. I'm going to, so I can report back more to this show, but getting as much hype as I've ever heard of for a team that wasn't really quite a factor, I mean, even last year. I mean, I know they made a tournament run, but last year I don't remember talking about the show much. They weren't really a huge deal.
Didn't talk about
I know they got an emotional coach that rips his shirt off when they win games and stuff.
Yeah,
dude's kind of crazy,
right.
with the smoking hot model.
I do remember
light.
Him.
But,
yeah.
But, I mean, we've never – they've kind of snuck up on us, and their rankings haven't budged much. And, again, like I said – If you only looked at their first half box scores, you'd see, man, this team kind of sucks. They have this bad reputation so far of not playing out in the first half and kicking in gear second half. But again, 17-1, you'll hear them talked about on the show a lot this year because they're a top 10 team. But give them a watch sometimes here to see, and you'll kind of give it the eye test. Is this team for real? Can they make a deep run? Have they been given too much love to start off the year? That'll be a fun team to keep track of. because we normally don't keep track of any teams outside the top Power 5 or outside top 25. But this team is there, and they're not going away. So I know they got some great guards. So give them a watch when they're on, I don't know, normally was it CBS Sports Channel or,
yep,
you know,
CBS
your little
Sports
outer
yep.
CBS Sports probably your best bet to watch them. But don't forget about the Wolfpack, because they will be probably a top two, top three team in the tournament and team to reckon with in most people's minds.
And it's funny because people have the CBS Sports Network, but they don't have the frickin' Pac-12. And go figure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Even though I watched that like a handful of times a year, the CBS Sports Network, still have always had it ever since it's existed. Just kind of wrapping up a couple of these conference races so far and kind of what we think of it, then we'll get out of here. We just hit the hour mark. Villanova Marquette right now have a nice little cushion. I don't know what to think of Xavier. I'm assuming they're going to get better as the year goes on. They're sitting at 3-2, but they're 11-7. St. John's, like I said, got ranked. They're 3-3. We'll see where they go. They're kind of teetering-tottering. They, like I said, they just made it. I think they got to the 24th or something like that. Then they got beat. Seton Hall's kind of scrappy as well. So it's kind of a work in progress. Butler, Providence, and Creighton, those are the bottom three. And you don't normally see that in the Big East. Usually that's like they're right in that, you know, that range that I mentioned earlier. So something to keep an eye on when it comes to that. And here we are, the Big 12. KU, without their starting center, is still 15-2, 4-1 in the conference, are tied with Texas Tech. They're only lost, like I mentioned, Iowa State. They're going to have to rematch them. Oklahoma is ranked, but they're 2-3 right now. West Virginia is 0-5 and 8-9 this year. 8-9 and 0-5.
That's nuts.
That is a shocker to me. I don't know what the hell is going on there. I'll tell you what, though, Texas Tech, if they can keep it together, they do have some offensive struggles sometimes. You see that out of defensive-minded teams a good chunk of time, especially in college. But they, right now, they stand out to me as the team that's going to do it. But I don't know, man. Some of these teams we're used to seeing, you know, I mean, 0-5 West Virginia, what the hell's going on there? And then you look at the ACC, you got, let's stay right there. Have you seen Texas Tech play? I can't believe West Virginia is 0-5. And our guy at Texas just can't quite get over the hump. He just can't quite get over the hump just yet. They're 10-7. They got a tough schedule, but still, they should have about two or three less losses. And they're sitting at 2-3, Texas there. Baylor's just kind of, I don't know what to think of them right now. Is Kansas going to win this freaking division again, dude?
I surely hope not, but I got nothing. I've seen Texas Tech. I watched them play last night against Iowa State. Iowa State is kind of my second favorite team. I've always liked watching them play basketball. I fell in love with Monte Morris.
Yeah.
So Chris and I always talk about our teams. My Tar Heels are probably my favorite team in the world. It's them and the Cowboys. So I'm always going to talk Tar Heels, but I do enjoy Iowa State. They've surprised me this year because last 2 years they've lost a lot of talent to the NBA, and I kind of thought this would be a down year. With that being said, though, they've been surprising people. They have a guy named Mario Shayok. He's the Canadian, a Canadian guard for them. Kid's averaging 22 a game as a senior. I'm assuming he must have been a transfer because I remember seeing him play last year, but he's kind of been guiding that team on his back this year. So they're having a better year than I expected. Like you said earlier, they beat Kansas already. Definitely a nice start to the year. But for Texas Tech, I mean, in that game against Duke down the stretch, Duke went on like an 18-3 run, wrap it up. And I know that is, you mentioned offensive issues. In that game, it was kind of one of those moments of, guys, who's going to score? You know, kind of that like, well, No one can make a play, you know. And last night against Iowa State, Iowa State has a good offense. Texas Tech has a good defense. But the defense got a little, you know, Iowa State took it to them. And they weren't able to score against, you know. So I don't know. I think it'll be another tight race again. But like usual, you know, it's probably going to be Kansas. That's kind of how it goes. You know, I would hope one year someone take care of them. You know, it would be nice, Chris, but I we'll have to see it to believe it. Because there's been years where I have got on this podcast and said, "Oh man, this is it! Like, look what's going on."
The year.
I think when Buddy Hield was at Oklahoma, I remember like, dude, I mean, look at all, you know, look, yeah, Buddy's gone, or hey, you know, they just lost to West Virginia. Like, all we need now is like them to lose to Iowa State, and it's like all the would have, should have, could have. We always predict never.
Yeah, it came down to the last, you know, handful of games. I remember almost every year we measure it out.
Yeah,
and say, okay, this team has that. Yeah. This team has that. And then all of a sudden, there's no drama the last week or two. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, that was fun.
But it does scare me because Kansas was almost a guarantee to get one loss against West Virginia. And, Chris, I'm not sure if that's a guarantee this year, my friend. Because I'm more shocked of West Virginia and Huggy Bear doing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that team's almost a guaranteed a team you never want to go into Morgantown and face, and they're 0-5. I mean, I know it's hard to always.
You think his players are finally going to class? Is that what it is? They're finally going to class, and it's like now all of a sudden, oh shit, this is harder than I thought to coach these guys when they got to try to graduate. Holy shit! Now I see what's going
maybe,
on.
Maybe he's too emotional. His dad had to go to therapy. His coach and then, like, a nicer tone to lower his blood pressure. Maybe he's had to become nicer, and therefore it's reflecting in, like, a little more laid-back, polite West Virginia team. Therefore, they're not getting after like they used to with, like, you know, Javon Carter or something. I'm not sure. That record, they're under 500, 8-9. Teams go through years where you can't bring back talent. That does make sense, but that's almost unfathomable.
To come down from the mountain with those muskets and start to really do something, dude, because what the hell? We got to look into that if they actually are going, if the basketball players are actually going to class, because we know Huggy Bear's graduation rate is by far the worst, I think, ever in history. As far as when they start.
Well, they've always said, Chris, you know, it sometimes in life it's better to make fun of yourself because then people can't rip on you. So, speaking of going to class, we and I say that because I love my boys with all my heart. Well, let's get to the ACC and the North Carolina Tar Heels. There may have been some class allegations that turned out to not hurt us too bad, you know, but some people thought we had a made-up class. Some people thought it was is the African American studies class where kids were giving out free B's. You know, it is what it is. But as you look in the ACC, currently there are five teams ranked: Carolina State, Duke, Vatek, Virginia Cavaliers. I would assume later in the year a Syracuse or a Louisville could sneak up there. Looking at this win-loss record in the conference, the bottom part looks a little scarier than normal. Clemson, normally a bubble team, is 1-3 in conference, 11-6 on the year. Notre Dame Irish, kind of like a West Virginia team. They're always pretty much scrappy and tough in conference, 1-3 in conference. Again, 11-6 on the year. Wake Forest has been rebuilding for about 5 years now. I get that. Florida State, there are six teams ranked in the ACC. Florida State is ranked 11th, yet 1-3 in conference. Miami Hurricanes, for the last 6-7 years, have been almost a guaranteed 2-4 seed, 1-3 in conference. And Boston College, they're kind of just the bottom runs, and they're 0-4. But the names I've mentioned, Chris, are normally teams that are currently ranked right now. It surprised me that Notre Dame or that Notre Dame isn't ranked right now, or Syracuse isn't ranked. I would say this conference is a little bit off to a tougher start than normal. Not that they can't bounce back, I mean, the top's a little bit strong, but this the middle to lower part of the ACC is a little less normal from what I'm expecting to see this year. I'm not going to suck up our own conference. That's a little sad to see. I would expect a little bit of a stronger start and a little more mediocrity in the win and loss categories for the ACC conference so far.
Yeah, and you know what? That may turn, because it is early, that may turn into
sure.
showing the depth. These teams may bounce
true.
Back. Florida State's probably going to be better than that. You're right, Notre Dame, Miami definitely stand out. How good is North Carolina State? You know, they got ranked high, and then now they're 2-2. They are 14-3 overall. But you're right. I mean, you got 1, 2, 3, you got five teams at 3-1. So I still think, you know, that may turn out to be why it's so deep, you know, in the end, where you go, huh, okay,
true.
Well, those teams have, you know, won some now. And so it may turn out, you know, it may turn out different. It may turn out different. Really showing the depth of the conference. But we'll definitely see. And then to wrap it up with – go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I just have a question for you before you walk out the door. So you go ahead first.
All right. So as far as the Big Ten goes, Michigan and Michigan State and Maryland are rolling, both 6-0 and then 6-1 for Maryland in this difficult stretch. So it'll be interesting to see. Purdue, like I said, started out pretty rough. Here they are sitting at 4-2. Iowa bounced back from a couple of losses. They're 4-3. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 teams all the way to Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, Indiana, Wisconsin are 3-3. And Ohio State, who, you know, got their ranking high up there, have fallen on tough times. And they're 2-3. So it just shows you kind of the layer in there where you're like, okay, wow, that's a good club right there, and here they are 2-3. So the depth there is pretty interesting. But right now, you know, Michigan is looking pretty damn good. I like Michigan's team, too. They got a lot of returning talent. And like I said, that dark horse was Maryland. They're ranked in 6-1 now, no longer the dark horse. But we'll definitely keep an eye on all this stuff. What is your question, sir?
An easy one. I know I've been accused of asking ignorant questions, crazy questions. You know, the crappy pick of the year this year got a little testy at times with two picks a week. But so I'm going to start you off with a layup this year for college basketball. just up to this point, and I know you can't see every game in the country because we don't got enough TVs or time, but who are the two best teams you've seen play so far this year with your own eyes from college basketball season thus far? Who's impressed you so far, top two teams?
I'd say the Minnesota Gopher. No, I'd say you got. I'd say Duke.
Okay, I'd say that's probably a
Duke.
Pretty common pick to most.
Yeah, that's a. Yeah, definitely. And you know, at the start of the year, you know, when you're looking at Gonzaga, Duke, I think they came up with like an A&M win. They smashed Arizona. I thought at the time, them putting 100, I think it was like, actually, let me check. It was 103 on Creighton. I was thinking Creighton, a good club. I don't know
sure.
where they're at this year, but I'm thinking, okay. And then I saw my squad, Minnesota, take on Washington. They slipped by them. North Carolina, you know, 103-90, they lost those back-to-back games against Tennessee barely, 76-73, and then 103-90. But I'd say in November and early December, Gonzaga looked apart. But right now, I'd say it's between Tennessee and Michigan, and I'd probably give it to Tennessee because of I think that they, you know, have – well, yeah, it's close. I think they have probably better wins.
Okay.
Michigan beat North Carolina and held them to 67 points. I forgot that was such a
– yeah.
Not to bring that up, but – and then they held Nova, who has now bounced back, to 46, 73 to 46. So, Jesus. I think it's a one Duke and then a tie with Michigan and Tennessee. Really close there. Obviously, you could tell I was kind of still thinking it through as I was saying it as far as what I've seen so far.
Okay, well, just and we will give you picks to
thanks
drop
the layup.
Here. Once
somehow I made that layup difficult, though, didn't I? I don't know what the hell I was doing, but
I, you know, you're not winning. You're giving a good, thoughtful answer. Those are the point of questions I normally ask you. Every once in a while, he'll ask me one, and he'll normally take me a couple minutes to reply. So, but like I said, we'll normally have picks as we go. In college football, we gave up picks this year. Did pretty damn good. Take it to the window. Trying to make some money along with this podcast. We did pretty darn good. So we will have picks to offer throughout the show weekly. Maybe we'll get a little bit of a crappy pick of the week into college basketball. I love as much for football. And, you know, there's got to be garbage basketball. So I have to sprinkle that into both shows. It's a fun thing to do. So we'll be back in next
there's
week.
There's so many games. So you picked 17 crafty picks of the week in college basketball, dude. There's so many.
I'll limit it to one. So we might have to sneak that in next week because that is a truly fun, enjoyable bit to do. And it's going to – oh, man, the statistics we're going to pull up. There's going to be some doozies. So we'll be back next week. The great thing about college basketball is there's always games to break down. Sometimes in college football, there's weeks that are kind of slow. It's hard to have a completely slow week in college basketball because the upsets are going to happen. So, as always, we love all y'all to listen. If you've joined us from college football on here, you haven't listened to this podcast yet, same kind of deal. We rip on each other. We give predictions. We break down the games. We add some gambling in, and it's a fun show. So, enjoy your week. Enjoy watching college hoops. Because now that football's done, time to get locked into basketball. I hope you have a nice, safe week with your family. Hopefully, people get back to work. We'll just leave that at that. And enjoy your night off. The boys are out. Have a good one. Peace.